This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. And this morning, we hear more from the head of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii about the vaccine rollout. The first batch is expected to touch down at some point today and could be distributed in the islands as soon as tomorrow. Doctors, nurses, firefighters, and police are among the first frontline workers that will be offered the vaccines. Hilton Rathel breaks down the plan.
There is a phased rollout for healthcare workers and frontline providers first, and we also have plans to distribute the vaccine also to assisted living facilities, nursing facilities, and people in congregate living, what they call congregate living settings, which is for generally for people who are older. And then there are additional phases after that for other healthcare workers in the community, independent physicians, dentists, physical therapists, all other types of healthcare workers in the community. And then it gets rolled out to what is called essential workers and then out to the general public. And so it's a lot of detail, a lot of coordination. The vaccine is being shipped to, for the first phases, for example, where it's going to hospitals, it will be shipped directly to those hospitals, including the neighbor islands. And so we have a distribution plan. Now, there's not enough vaccine coming out in the first wave or the first week to vaccinate, for example, even people in all the hospitals. And so the hospitals will all get some vaccine initially, and then there will be additional doses of the vaccine shipped to the hospitals. And by the end of December, we anticipate having enough vaccine in the state to vaccinate all healthcare workers in the state, and then we'll move on to other parts of the population.
I think the concern is the refrigeration of the vaccine because, you know, we're pretty far to go from wherever these things are getting manufactured.
Well, that is certainly a concern because there are two primary vaccine candidates. The Pfizer vaccine does require what we call ultra-cold storage, which is 70 degrees Celsius below, which is very cold. But Pfizer, the manufacturer, has been planning on the distribution, and they have come up with cold storage containers that contain dry ice. And when these containers are shipped across the country, including to Hawaii, they will be shipped with the vaccine in a storage container, and there'll also be one resupply of dry ice shipped with them. Now, when these containers with the vaccine in them arrive in Hawaii or wherever it is across the country, they will be repacked with the refill of dry ice, and that is good for another 5 days. And then they can be refilled again with dry ice for up to 30 days. So you can have a total of 30 days of repacking the vaccine. Now, you can pull, you know, some of the vaccine out and then use it, you know, pull the vaccine out and keep the rest of it at that ultra-cold storage. Now, once the Pfizer vaccine, is taken out of the ultra-cold storage with the dry ice, it can be kept in a refrigerator for 5 days. So everyone knows the very specific instructions, and our goal is to get the vaccine into the hands of doctors, nurses, other folks who are administering the vaccine so that none of it goes to waste and it all gets used within the time frame of the cold storage. Now, if we do need to store it for longer periods of time, you can take it out of these shipping containers and put it immediately into a ultra-cold storage container, which we do have in different places in Hawaii. And it can be kept for up to 6 months if you just keep it in a freezer at that temperature. So there is a fair amount of number of options here in terms of what we can do with this vaccine to ensure that it does not go to waste and that it is distributed appropriately across the state to every community and is used appropriately.
Okay, so there are the quality control safeguards.
The containers or these storage containers actually come with thermometers in them that monitor the temperature. And so they are, you know, it's monitoring the temperature all the time, and it does produce an alert if the temperature gets above the critical threshold. So that is all part of the shipping methodology that has been developed by Pfizer. Now, the Moderna vaccine, which has not yet received approval, but we expect it to have approval, that just needs to be kept at 20 degrees Celsius, which is minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's a much more manageable vaccine, and the Moderna vaccine is the vaccine that we're planning to use in all of our nursing facilities and assisted living facilities across the state.
And then how are these vaccines being sent over? Just regular commercial flights? Because, you know, there are fewer flights, or is it going to be special plane, special cargo?
There are some extra flights and specific flights that are being used to get the vaccine across the country. So it's a variety of methods that they have mapped out the logistics. We know approximately how many doses of the vaccine we're going to be getting next week. Again, that's pending the FDA emergency use authorization. And we know how many we should be getting the following week, et cetera. So it's already been mapped out how many doses we will be getting. Dr. Libby Cha reported that we anticipate having 81,000 doses of the vaccine in Hawaii before the end of this year.
Are we doing any coordination with the military?
Well, the military has their own distribution, and so they have a separate round of distribution. They have their own storage capability, and at Tripler, for example, and so the military participants and their families, they have a separate distribution chain from the general public. Now, it's a very similar time frame, but Tripler is one of the Tripler Army Medical Center is one of the military distribution hubs, so it will be used as a hub for other parts of the Pacific, but all the military in Hawaii will have their own separate distribution chain, and that is separate from what the Department of Health and the hospitals and the counties are working on.
Are there any particular challenges for the neighbor islands, for the hospitals there?
No, we are coordinating very closely with all the hospitals. We have a distribution plan. Our plan is to use vaccination hubs, use the hospitals, both on Oahu and the neighbor islands, as vaccination hubs. So, for example, on the island of Kauai, we have Wilcox Memorial Hospital coordinating with HHSC, which is Kauai Veterans Hospital and Samuel Mehalona. So they are all working together to ensure that all the healthcare workers on Kauai are vaccinated and taken care of. On Maui, we are working with Maui Health System, and they're taking care of all the healthcare workers on Maui and Lanai. Molokai is taken care of because we're working directly with Queens, and they will get their own shipment on Molokai. And then on the Big Island, or the island of Hawaii, we have working with Kona and Hilo and North Hawaii Community Hospital, and they are part of the Queens distribution system. So all the neighbor islands have vaccination plans for all the healthcare workers, and then we'll be going into essential workers, and that is all being coordinated through the counties. But all the neighbor islands are being accounted for, and we'll get it. The vaccines are being distributed in waves directly across the islands, including all of the neighbor islands. Now, under emergency use authorization, that is not full approval. Now, flu vaccines, for example, they are approved by the FDA. And a number of hospitals across the country and in Hawaii do require that frontline healthcare personnel do have the flu vaccine. Now, but that, again, is because it's received full FDA approval, which these vaccines for the COVID-19 will not, at least in the short term. It will probably take another 3 to 7 months for the FDA to give these vaccines full approval. So during that period of time, which is the next 3 to 7 months, while the vaccines are covered under emergency use authorization, no one will be mandating the vaccines, including the hospitals, because, again, they are being given under emergency use authorization. Now, it doesn't mean they're not safe. It just means that the full review process has not been completed. There's a lot of work that's being done. You know, the British government has approved the Pfizer vaccine. The Canadian government has approved the Pfizer vaccine. The Israeli government has approved the Pfizer vaccine. So the Pfizer vaccine has gone through huge amounts of scrutiny already, but there is still additional work being done. And some of the additional work that's being done is to go into some of the smaller populations. For example, the Pfizer vaccine has not been tested on children under 12. It has not been tested on women who are pregnant or breastfeeding. So there is further review that will happen, and will happen over the next few months. And at that point in time, once it gets full FDA approval, then employers can choose, if they want to make it mandatory. You know, a hospital could choose to make it mandatory. I don't know that they will. It's up to the hospitals to decide, but at least for now, and until these vaccines receive full FDA approval, they will not be mandatory. So the FDA is being very deliberative in their process. They're not rushing it, even though they have huge amounts of pressure from the Trump administration. They are taking their time. We expect that when the vaccine receives emergency use authorization, and we anticipate that it will, that it will come with some caveats, and including not to be used for children under 12, not to be used for women who are breastfeeding or pregnant. Now, that doesn't mean that a woman who's pregnant couldn't ask or breastfeeding couldn't ask for the vaccine. They could choose to get it, but the point is it's not being tested on some of those populations. We're also learning more about people who have, you know, allergies. There is still more work to be done on that. And the question there is, okay, well, if it does create a reaction, you know, why is it creating that reaction? What can we do to mitigate that? Or what could we do to work around those folks who have these strong allergic reactions? But that is a very, very small number of people who, you know, who would have those reactions now. But until we get a critical mass of people vaccinated in Hawaii, we have to continue our safe practices, which is wearing our masks, washing our hands, being mindful of social distancing, not congregating in large settings. We're not out of the woods yet. We're getting there. The end is in sight. But we're still a number of months away from being back to whatever that new normal is. So we need to, just because you're vaccinated, doesn't mean that you and your family are safe yet. We need to get the community safe, and we need something like 70% of the population to be vaccinated before we can really let down our guard.
That was Hilton Rathel, head of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii. We talked to him Friday afternoon. He did give us an update this morning. He says Queens was to get its first tray today, about 1,000 doses. They will get an additional 4,000 doses on Wednesday.